is natural. And so again, I'm Lynn, and let me just get our recording started. And it looks like it's time for me to turn the mic over to our minister for the day, Regina Dawn Akers. The mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Happy, happy Sunday. Welcome to our Awakening Together weekly gathering. Am I being heard okay? Let's start with the begin with the first step. Yes, okay, wonderful. I am, as some of you may realize, I'm working from a completely new computer today. I got this computer back midweek this week. It is a MacBook Pro. So I am in Pal Talk on a Mac. And the way that I've done that is I bought another little software program for around $50 called VMware Fusion. And once VMware Fusion was loaded on the MacBook Pro, then I could load Windows 7 on the MacBook Pro. And now my Mac has two sides. It has a Mac side and a Windows side. And so even though I'm on a Mac, when I come into Pal Talk, I'm actually coming in through Windows 7. So I should not be experiencing the problems that some people experience when they try to come in through the Mac. No 50-minute wall. So we'll see what happens, though. This is a test. I suppose Lynn or somebody should be standing by ready to take over if I suddenly ascend like Ron did. The first things we do in our gathering is we take the opportunity to greet one another. I'm going to start a music. Again, you can let me know how the volume is, but I'm going to play a song. It's the song that I seem to be playing every time that we do the greeting. It's kind of becoming a tradition for me already. It's called Awakening by Diva Premel and Mitten. So please, while you're listening to the song, take the opportunity to say hello to each other on the board. We did have a request. Someone said they wanted to know where other people are from. So one thing you could type during this period of time is, where are you physically sitting as you're joined in this meeting? So here we go. Please greet one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
I've paused that music for now. Just how was the volume, everyone? Was the volume okay? Again, I'm working with a completely new setup, so everything for me is a bit of a test. The volume was good. Okay, good, good. David, I noticed that you're here, David Hemphill, and originally David was going to assist me today, but he wrote that he was having a root canal. And David, I have rescheduled Jasmine to read with me today. She has a different reading than the one that you have, and I'm hoping you'll be able to assist me 2 weeks from today. So we'll talk about that later with the reading that we originally had discussed. So today we're going with a slightly different program. What I'd like to do now is just share a little bit of a statement of purpose And we like to share a statement of purpose at every gathering because we never know when we're going to have someone new joining us who doesn't know anything about Awakening Together or anything about what we're doing here. Of course, most of us have been gathering in this room for a very, very long time. I've been coming here since April of 2005. This room began in January of 2004. But what we're doing now with Awakening Together is we're kind of formalizing that gathering a bit more. As you know, we're joining together now every Sunday morning for our Sunday gathering. We also have a prayer circle that happens on the announcement, which I'll make in a bit, about another gathering we're going to have here in the room. So we're kind of formalizing a little bit of our get-togetherness. And one of the questions that people have asked me, a few people have asked, is, are we starting a new religion here? And that's a really, really interesting question. As soon as someone asked me that, the very first thing I thought of was that I thought I remembered somewhere J. Krishnamurti defining religion in a completely unique and different way, and what I felt was a really heartfelt way. So I decided to go and look up what Krishnamurti says religion is. And he says the best way to recognize what religion is first by recognizing what it's not. And he says that it is not a system of belief that separates you from others. And he says, therefore, it's not being a Catholic or a Protestant. It's not being a Christian or a Jew. It's not being Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Baha'i or anything else. He says that is not what religion is. And of course, most people think of that as religion. He says religion, in fact, is not at all what I think. It has nothing to do with the thinking mind at all. Religion, and this is his definition, is a sense of comprehension of the totality of existence. Again, he says religion is a sense of comprehension of the totality of existence, in which there is no division between you and me. He says a religious mind is a mind that is constantly aware, sensitive, attentive, so that it goes beyond itself into a dimension where there is no time at all. So based on my contemplation of Krishnamurti's definition of religion, I would say that Awakening Together is not about starting a new religion like Hinduism or Christianity. Instead, the real purpose of Awakening Together is to help each of us become, which means to become full awareness beyond all diversity, space, and time, fully immersed in reality. That's the purpose of Awakening Together, to help each of us become fully religious, which means fully aware or full awareness that is beyond all diversity, beyond space and time, fully immersed in reality. And my hope is that everything that we do as a part of Awakening Together and as a part of this room is a means to that, becoming fully religious. I do have a couple of announcements to make before we get going. As I've mentioned, we have this Sunday morning gathering that, you know, we're beginning to show up for. We also have the Tuesday morning prayer circle, which a number of people are beginning to show up for. Also, anyone who wants to, even if you can't attend the prayer circle, you are invited to submit a prayer request. You can do that by going to the Awakening Together website, which is awakening-together.org. And let's see, you click on the Interact menu, and underneath that you'll see Prayer Circle. And from the Prayer Circle page, there is a place to submit your prayer request. So everyone is invited to do that. So we have our Sunday gatherings. We have our Prayer Circle. These are kind of formal Awakening Together meetings, you could say. We're going to start adding a new one, a third one. One thing that happens every day through the Awakening Together website is that a daily quote is posted. And these daily quotes are really good quotes for contemplation. They're fun, they're nice to quickly read and say, I agree, and move on. But the quotes are much more helpful if we take the time to really contemplate them and to embrace what they say. In fact, NTI says something in the beginning part of NTI and NTI Matthew that to listen and to say, I agree, but then not to practice, difficult to practice anything if we haven't taken it deep within us. So contemplation is often a first step to actually practicing or living something. So we have these wonderful daily quotes that have a wonderful opportunity to help us blossom fully into that religious mind that Krishnamurti speaks about. But that's only if we truly give them our attention. If we just read them quickly, say, I agree, and go on with our day, they're not very useful. So we're going to begin a new practice here, and anyone having an evening, a 30-minute evening meeting, where we get together, whoever wants to, after a day of being with the daily quote and kind of share what has come to us through our contemplation of that quote. You know, Jesus says in A Course in Miracles that it's really helpful to contemplate. He's talking about the workbook lesson here, but contemplate, you know, as soon as possible after you get out of bed in the morning, and then just before you go to bed at night, at the very least. He actually recommends eventually contemplating throughout the day. But he says in the morning and in the evening at least. So what you can do is you can sign up on the Awakening Together website to receive the daily quote in email every day so that you can get up, go into email, and read that daily quote. And the way that you sign up for that is you go to the Awakening Together website. There's a menu called Join Us. You click on Join Us, and then you click Subscribe to All Blogs. And if you subscribe to all blogs, what will happen is the daily quote will come into your email box every morning, very early, probably before you get out of bed, unless you're an extreme early riser. So when you get up, you can go, you can open up that daily quote, and you can read it, and you can spend time contemplating it on your own, you know, as soon as you're awake in the morning, and if you want to, throughout the day. And then in the evening, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Pacific Time, throughout the day. All right, can you hear me now? I got a little bit stepped on there, and I lost the mic for a moment. Okay, good. All right, so as I was saying, so then in the evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, you can come here. There'll be a different facilitator for each evening, and we will all share what we got out of the contemplation. It'll be a 30-minute meeting that gives us the opportunity to revisit the contemplation again before going to bed. We have not yet secured 7 days a week, and eventually, we don't know how long it will take, we would like to do it 7 days a week at the same time. But right now, we have secured Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So right now, the only nights that we don't yet have a meeting is Friday and Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can come into the room. We'll have a different facilitator for each night. I'm the facilitator on Monday nights. Karen Ann will be the facilitator on Tuesday nights. I think Wednesday, it is still open, but there is someone we're considering. Thursday night will be Jay. And Saturday night, as far as I know, is not yet confirmed, but there is someone that we are considering asking. Is that all correct, Dove? And in fact, Dove, do you have anything to add to what I've been saying?
All right. Thank you so much, Regina. And as always, I see the Holy Spirit helps with everything that happens in this room, arranging everything. Everyone I spoke to, starting with Karen Ann, people just said yes, and the willingness just happens very contagiously. Yes, it looked like at first it was only going to be three nights a week or maybe four, and now it's looking like it could be all seven nights a week. And, yeah, I think it's going just wonderfully. I want to thank everyone who said yes willingly and said it so that we all kind of really were not only awakening together, we were all sharing this unity of purpose. Okay, thank you so much. Back to you, Regina.
Thank you, Dov. And I see Francine says she couldn't hear you, but he was really just expressing gratitude, Francine, for how everybody is willing to help us make this 10 o'clock slot available for our nightly meeting. So again, it starts tomorrow. So if you haven't signed up to receive the daily quote post, again, just go to Awakening Together website, click on Join Us, and subscribe to all blogs. If you do that today, then tomorrow morning when you get up, there should be an email there with the daily quote. And you can begin your contemplation practice tomorrow, and then join me tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time for the very first evening meeting. It'll be a 30-minute meeting. And again, our real purpose here is to have that religious mind, which is the wording that Krishnamurti used, but we all call that awakening. We call that self-realized. So that's our purpose, and this additional meeting should be another means in that direction. Just as an FYI, today's daily quote is from Robert Adams, and this is the quote. Everything you see is God. This is why you should be non-judgmental. Leave everything alone. By practicing these things, you become radiantly happy. So that is today's quote of the day. let's see. So now we are ready for our opening song. I'm very, very excited to play this song for you. This is a song written by a woman named Esther Danmary. This song is based on NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, and it is called Rise Up. So here is our opening song.
Rise up today and hold hands within your heart. Rise up today and hold hands within your heart. So love one another, for all is well. Only it's good and peace abides in you today and forever. Rise up today and hold hands within your heart. Rise up today and hold hands within your heart. So love one another, for all is well, as only good ever be.
Peace abides in you.
There we go. So that was by Esther Danmary. It is called Rise Up, and it's the lyrics actually come from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I just love what she's done with that. She has let me know she's going to be writing some songs based on NTI, and as she shares those songs with me, I will share those songs with you. So the beautiful songs. This is the second one, and so far it's my favorite. All right, let's go into a moment of prayer. I noticed a theme as we looked at the thought for the day from Robert Adams, and as we listened to the song Rise Up from NTI, and the theme was all is well. I know, because I know what the reading is, I know that today we're going to be speaking about problems and how to find solutions to problems. And it occurred to me as we were looking at the contemplation and listening to the song that the best way to realize the solution to an apparent problem is to stay with the realization, all is well. No matter how big the problem appears to be, no matter how complicated or how personally involved we seem to be, staying with all is well will keep the mind in the right mind so that the solution can become apparent rather than us being in the wrong mind, spinning and spinning without a solution. Holy Spirit, universe, Father, Jesus, Ramana, Shiva, higher self, that which is our intelligence beyond the thinking mind, guide us to stay with all is well. Guide us to stay with the heart and the right mind, and let that which is to be given, recognizing that everything is always a gift. Amen. And now I'm going to turn the mic over to who I believe is the youngest member of Awakening Together, although David Hemphill is the second youngest. and she's going to share a reading about problems from Jan Fraser, right? So Jasmine, you want to come take the chair?
This is called Looking at a Problem by Jan Fraser. Something has been going on for a while, a few months, I think. I want to try to describe it because I know that before long I will have gotten used to it and will cease to remember when it was otherwise. It has to do with trying to figure out how to address a problem, most often a family matter, though it could be other things as well. It isn't important what the content is. It could be anything that matters to me, that seems to require some action or some stand being taken. Now in the past, my approach to such a thing would have been to think about it, mull over it, worry maybe, mentally rehearse different ideas, possibly lie awake at night, but definitely the sphere of activity, the place resources would be brought to bear, would be the mind. That doesn't happen anymore, but there is nevertheless something going on in there when a situation has presented itself that seems to need addressing. I am aware of an underlying focus on the thing, something going on below the stream of ordinary consciousness. It has nothing to do with thinking or with language. It is not in the realm of words or even time. There seems to be no linear sequence to this focused attention. The best way to describe it is that it feels like pure looking, a distilled attention, a direct encounter with the thing that needs looking at. If I make the old-fashioned effort to think about the thing, I experience something like static, a fuzziness like on an old TV with its dial turned between stations. While this is going on, I am aware that progress is being made, that clarity is increasing, but I have to leave it alone, allow it to happen. I don't experience it as me doing anything, really. It's just happening on its own. It is like growing a baby. Something definitely is going on in there, but I don't have to do anything to bring it out. The process may extend over many days if the problem is complex, or it may be a brief period of intense focus with an abrupt and unmistakable conclusion above the surface of that deep brewing. I'll know with the startling clarity what to do about some particular piece of the problem. A lot of the Thai life, but only now deeply fathomed. Once in a while, something will start to come to me, some dawning, some way of understanding that isn't quite dead center. Right away, something will zoom in and make a correction. It will say in effect, no, that's not quite right. A little more this way, just a quarter turn, and you've got it. And when it's right, I know. I really deeply know. There's a sensation of solid settling in, a thorough engaging, as though one gear is meshing with another. And then things are perfectly clear, and there is a forceful motion forward.
Thank you, Jasmine. Well, for me, that's a really interesting reading because you could say the last few weeks I've had a problem, not experience a lot of ego. You know, A Course in Miracles, I believe it's workbook lesson 149. I could have the number slightly wrong. It's definitely in the 140s. The workbook lesson says, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And of course, when I first read that workbook lesson, I did not think that was true. This was back in 2004. And during the day, I would very sincerely try to hear God's voice as the lesson was encouraging. And whenever I would try to hear God's voice, to my frustration, the only thing that happened was certain lines from A Course in Miracles came floating into my mind. And I got really frustrated because I judged that as merely human memory trying to fill in the silence, fill in the gap. And throughout the day, as I continued to try to hear God's voice, I perceived that I couldn't. And what happened at one point is, Jasmine was at a horseback riding lesson. She was around 6 at this time, and I was sitting in the car waiting for her lesson to end so that she would, you know, to take her home. And I contemplated this again. God's voice speaks to me all through the day, and I also started to almost doze off because the sun was coming through the car window and it was really warm, and it was, you know, around 4, that time of day when I get a little tired anyway, naturally. But just as I started to doze off, it's as if I heard this happening in my mind. It's not as if I did it, right? I heard my mind ask, what does God's voice sound like anyway? And then I heard an answer in my mind. It sounds just like you. And I knew in that moment, in fact, I completely woke up from my drowsiness. I knew in that moment that those thoughts from A Course in Miracles that had been floating into my mind when I was trying to hear God's voice was God's voice for me at that point. I knew that I was not making those lines float in. I began to see the difference between the thinking mind and God's voice or Holy Spirit or wisdom or clarity. And the difference was the thinking mind is more like a, There's a making, you know, like, you know, if we're going to be talking about problems, so there'd be a trying to figure out the answer to the problem. It's like a making happen occurs. That's the thinking mind or the wrong mind or the belief that I am the doer, right? The belief that I am the person. The Holy Spirit or God's voice or wisdom or clarity, right? It is not a making. We don't make it. It occurs. It happens. So what was happening for me that day when I was getting still with an intent to hear God's voice, I was not, you could say, manually making myself remember lines from A Course in Miracles, right? I was just being still in openness, and those lines were coming in. Those were the gifts. That's how Holy Spirit was speaking to me at that time. And I learned to really embrace those gifts as Holy Spirit. And there's somewhere in A Course in Miracles where Jesus starts teaching us to hear the voice, and he'll give us a thought for the day, a workbook lesson for the day. And then he'll ask us to repeat the workbook lesson in our mind, you know, maybe once, maybe a few times. But then he also asks us to be alert to related thoughts. Now, it's interesting. He's not asking us to make related thoughts. He's not asking us to think really hard with our mind. What can I come up with that's related to the thought for the day? He's just asking us to be aware, to be alert. And as I learned to really relax and practice the course lesson of the day, these related thoughts started coming into my mind. And my practice became very quickly to write down the related thoughts. And as I wrote down the related thoughts, that flow became easier and more clear. And pretty soon, you know, my practice became one where I could just really, as we called it then, write with Holy Spirit. You know, some of us came to perceive me as a scribe at that time because that flow was so easy for me to hear, right? But really, all that was happening was I was learning to do nothing but be open. And then to trust what was given, right? So, you know, if I learned anything, what I learned was not to make up the answers, not to think about the thought for the day and come up with what it means to me. I learned to just be with it and to allow what is given to come and to embrace what comes without judging it, without saying it should be different, it should be more profound, it should be longer, it should be louder, you know, it should use different words. I learned not to judge it. And that was a practice skill because, the thinking mind did want to judge. In fact, the entire time I was writing down the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, the thinking mind was always right there wanting to judge what was coming. And in fact, those of you who have known me for a very long time, you know that in the beginning, when NTI was coming, I often listened to the thinking mind's judgments. And literally, a paragraph would come, and the thinking mind would say, that word shouldn't have been used, or that sentence should be reordered, and I made those changes. And that's why if somebody finds a very, very old version of NTI that was posted on the Peace of God or somewhere else when it was originally coming, and you compare it to the published version of NTI, you're going to find differences. Because in the very, very beginning, when the thinking mind would say, no, it shouldn't be that word, I would listen to the thinking mind, and I would change it to the word that the thinking mind wanted. But after I finished writing down NTI, the next piece of guidance that came was for a validation. And I very quickly, you know, within half an hour after that guidance coming, two people showed up that wanted to come to my house. And I was guided to invite both of them to come for this validation. One was a woman named Palk Young. She's a Buddhist nun who lives in Dallas, Texas. And the other one was a. They came to my house, and what happened was Palk Young would hold the notebooks that I originally wrote NTI down in. Carolyn held the typed-up manuscript, and I sat at the keyboard. And Pelk Young would read from the notebooks where I originally wrote things down. And when the notebook disagreed with what I had typed up, that meant I had changed it before I typed it up. And so then we would change it back to the notebook. So the published version of NTI is what I received. But I did not yet have the skill to fully trust what was given, right? I still thought my thinking mind knew better. But what I really learned through that process of trusting the thinking mind and then returning it to what was given and then teaching NTI many, many times and seeing how incredibly perfect it is, I learned that the thinking mind is really just hot air. And so I've learned to listen to the thinking mind less and less and less, and to trust what is given that I do not make more and more and more. And as this has occurred, it has gotten easier for me to hear God's voice throughout the day, all throughout the day. You know, so when someone is speaking to me and maybe a thought of an opinion or a disagreement comes up really quickly, I might right after that feel that given thought of say nothing, do nothing, be still, just listen, accept this person as they are, right? I can feel that guidance. And it's interesting because in the reading that Jasmine just read, when Jan Fraser was talking about how she's experiencing problem solving, she said that a thought may come into the mind, you know, an idea may come into the mind like, oh, this is the answer. But then right after that, there'll be, well, almost, but, you know, turn slightly to the left or turn slightly to the right. You know, what she's really talking about, as far as I can tell, is learning not to trust her thinking mind, to wait for what's given, and to sense that intuitive guidance that is there helping. You know, that's what she's talking about. And she had an awakening experience and then seemed to become aware of this. I seem to become aware of this through the Course in Miracles workbook and the writing of NTI, and I would not say I've had an awakening experience. So what that tells me is we do not have to be awake to honestly and sincerely know that guidance. That guidance that finds the solutions to our problems for us, that guidance that's going to take us deeper into these thoughts that we're contemplating. We don't have to be what people call awake. We don't have to have had that extreme experience, you know, of awakeness, because that's available to us all of the time. God's voice speaks to me all through the day, right? So what we need to do is we need to want that more than our thinking mind's solutions. And I mentioned to you that I had a problem in the last few weeks, and the problem was my computer died. And, you know, I really use my computer a lot in the work I do with the Foundation for the Calm. You know, I really use my computer a lot, and I have lots of tools, and everything was just the way I needed it for everything to work. And then the computer went crash. Gone. And it really was feeling as if somebody cut off my right arm. And then my computer was old, so technology has changed so much in the years that I've had that computer. And, you know, people began to tell me to go get a MacBook. In fact, everyone in Facebook that made a comment told me to get a MacBook. Not one person or a Mac. Not one person told me to go get a PC. So I decided to take that as guidance. And I went and I found the Mac that seemed right for me. I literally walked right up to it without any thinking, that's the right machine for you. So I felt even buying this machine was guidance. But then I began to be told, you can't do that, you can't do this, that won't work. And my thinking mind got involved. And I began to spin and spin, trying to find solutions. Now, one thing that's really interesting, two things that are really interesting. One, I had not experienced that much ego in my mental experience in a very long time. It felt like I was thrown all the way back to prior to A Course in Miracles. The way my ego used to be, it was back. But at the same time, that wasn't completely true, because there was something else happening, even while my ego seemed to be so loud, louder than it's been in many years. I was aware of a looking. I was aware of a looking at the ego. I was aware of a looking at the frustration. There was one time when you know, every time I had to do something to make this Mac work right for me, it was another $100, another $100, another $100. Oh, that's fine. You can do that. You just need to buy this, and that's another $100. And remember, I spent $2,000 before we started adding up the other $100. And about the fifth or sixth time when he said, well, I can do that, but you just need to do this, and it will be another $100, tears welled up in my eyes. And there was this guidance not to try and stop it, not to try and repress it, not to try and pretend like that there wasn't something here that was tired of spending another $100. Just look at it. So what was happening over this last couple of weeks, while all of this ego frustration and fear that the new computer would never let me do what the old computer would let me do, right? All of this frustration, this fear, this not wanting to spend any more money. I don't know what to classify that as. Maybe that was guilt, a little bit of guilt, because I was thinking, you know, Awakening Together's money is not my money, right? But as I listened to that intuition that just told me to look, let everything be as it is, let ego be as it is, just look. And I listened to the looking. I didn't try to change a thing. I didn't try to change my frustration. I didn't try to change my desire not to spend any more money. I just looked. I did what it said. I let everything be, and I looked. One morning I woke up, and it was gone. The computer problems were not resolved yet. In fact, at that point, I didn't even have my computer back yet. Right now, I'm still working to get this computer to work the way I need it to work so I can get my job done. But now, I'm doing it in peace, with the all is well feeling right out front. How did I shift from being fearful and guilty and caught up in ego, the strongest ego I felt in years, to being back to peace? I listened to that guidance, which was just look, just watch. And somehow, while the play was playing out, including the Regina character being frustrated and not wanting to spend money, the looking did something. You know, what Jan Fraser is talking about in the excerpt that Jasmine read to us is that's really what we need to do, is to look. Allow that looking to happen. Instead of thinking about how to solve a problem, just look at the problem. And if we're having thoughts about the problem, look at our thoughts about the problem. There's an earlier excerpt in the book where she talks about awakening. And she talks about her 20 years with Guru Mai, her guru, which she thought that those 20 years and practicing the practices that Guru Mai gave her to practice would awaken her. If I remember correctly, she even makes a comment, she couldn't even practice all the practices that Guru Mai had her, because there were so many different practices. But she did her best practicing the ones that she could, and she thought the practicing would awaken her. And then she says, after the awakening happened, she realized it was not the practicing that awakened her, but somehow in the practicing, what woke up or what began to happen was the looking. The looking began to happen. And she realized it's the looking that actually caused the awakening. The looking. And again, that's what was happening for me in this last 2 weeks, when there seemed to be so much ego. There was also this strong sense, not a weak sense in my case this week. It was a strong sense of look. Look. So isn't it amazing that looking, just watching, might be the most powerful practice of all? That just looking at a problem, looking at the ego, looking at what we're doing, looking at what we're believing, that that might be the answer? You know, A Course in Miracles says something about the ego thrives in darkness. Well, one thing I learned when I was with Laurent through a message that came to me and him was that our awareness is the light. So if the ego thrives in darkness and our awareness is the light, that means that the looking is the light. The looking, right? So, you know, tomorrow some of us are going to begin a contemplative practice. Now, we've probably been contemplating. I've been contemplating ever since I started with the Course in Miracles workbook in 2004. There's always been something I've been contemplating. But I say it's a new contemplation practice because some of us are going to be contemplating the same thing every day, which will be whatever the daily quote is on the Awakening Together website. And some people don't feel like they know how to contemplate. So I would say use looking or use being. To me, looking and being are the same. Just looking at the quote without thinking about it. Just being with the quote. And then when those related thoughts begin to arise, don't judge them. Write them down. See where they take you. Don't try to figure it out. Let it come, right? Let it come. And then not only with the contemplation, but again, what Jan Fraser is telling us is this looking is powerful in every aspect of our lives. So if you happen to have a problem, maybe even it's you know, the worst problem you've ever faced. I recently was with a group of people, and there were a couple of women who had teenage children. We just heard from my teenager, right? They had teenage children the age of my child, only their children were addicted to crack or heroin or crystal meth, right? These strong, strong drugs. They were stealing from them. You know, it seemed like everything was terrible. And, of course, you know, a frantic mother starts looking to counseling. She starts looking to, you know, whatever she can to try and solve this problem. What about the looking? What about watching the child, watching the mind, watching the emotions, watching the sense of hopelessness? What about watching and doing nothing, and waiting? What about that as the answer, right? What if we go about the things that come up in our lives the same way we go about contemplation? Looking and waiting for that which is given. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a song this This is from Michael DeMaria. Michael DeMaria. It's from a CD called The River. The name of the song is Sunlight. Now, this is music only, and this is a time for contemplation of the reading and contemplation of the sharing that just came through me after the reading. Also, during this time, Lynn, who is our admin, will share a little. Thank you. All right, so now it is time for our open sharing. I will just be still until someone is ready to share. When you are ready to share, please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. Yes, Melinda, please take the mic.
Good morning. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful service and gathering. One of the interesting shifts that I've noticed lately is sometimes when I'm in gather, I will listen as if I need to get. But then there is this, excuse me, there's this other place to come from in listening, which is, I don't know how to describe it. But it's more like, it feels more like I'm listening to someone talking to themselves. And it's a very different experience. And so it's like, it's been something that I've been kind of aware of that's really kind of helped me from even creating or thinking, oh, there's this problem with me, I need to listen so I can understand and get. It's listening from a wholer place or something, like where, you know, and you hear different things, so, and it is a more contemplative listening. So, yeah, thank you. I just wanted to share about that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very, very much, Melinda. and so I'm going to release the mic and wait for whoever is ready to share next.
Good morning, everyone. Regina, what really, really came to mind was that when you were talking about the voice that sounded like you, and it was going with all these beautiful quotes from the Course in Miracles, I had such a similar experience, is that I remember being so, so surprised about the way my voice sounded. And many years ago, I remember listening to a tape recorder of my voice for the very, very first time. And I was, I do not like that voice any at all. It's so harsh, so, so raw, so, so raw. So when I would hear streams of quotes, but they were coming from a voice, and I says, you know, my understanding was that Holy Spirit was so gentle and so, so tender, and I would hear it in my voice, that harsh I'm really happy that you brought that up, because eventually what I've learned is that awareness is who I am. Awareness is the banquet I'm invited to. And I really, really resonated with you saying that to me this morning. And I'm so, so happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And if Tay's hand was up, I did not see it. I apologize if anyone else has their hand up and I do not see it. Lynn and Dove, feel free to invite them to take the mic. Right now, I do see Tay's hand up. So, Tay, if your hand is up, you can probably put it down. I'll release the mic for whoever wants to speak next.
I just wanted to let me change the settings, because I did want to thank Melinda for sharing here earlier. She said there's two ways of actually being here and listening. One is thinking that you're going to get something, and that's a whole different way of listening than when I'm just being here in the moment, and exactly as Regina was sharing here earlier, to just allow the flow to happen. And you'll notice that lesson 49, that God's voice is speaking to me all through the day, is true right here in this room. It always has been. For me, it has always been. I can only speak for myself, and I know that many come here and they actually are in the flow, and they actually feel and experience the Holy Spirit speaking to them, through them. And of course, as we develop trust, we begin to say, yes, I would like to be among the teachers here and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me and through me. Thank you so much for everyone who has taken on being a guest teacher here. Of course, Regina started, you know, 9 years ago. Yeah, it was 9 years ago, just about. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, a little over 9 years now, Dove. Joe, please take the mic.
Okay. Thank you all for sharing this morning, and thank you for giving me an opportunity. I have a question, actually, I want to throw out there, and hopefully you guys can hear me okay. What's been on my mind recently, there's a teaching, an Emmett Fox teaching. I believe he called it the Golden Key, where he talked about when dealing with problems or facing something that you believe is a problem, rather than focusing on the problem, turning your attention to God and all the aspects of God, turning your attention to love and that sort of thing, and putting the problem essentially out of your mind. And yet what I'm hearing this morning, and not to, I'm just looking for clarity, obviously, here, but what I heard earlier was actually looking at the problem, and or what I believe to be the problem, and I guess that's as far as I can go with my question, if that makes any sense at all. But again, what I'm looking for is some clarity here, and forgive me if I'm not being clear even in my question, but if somebody could address that, I would appreciate it, please. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe, I understand perfectly what you're saying. And what I find is that different practices are helpful at different times. And so one thing that's always important whenever any of us are listening is to check for an inner confirmation of what is right for me now. And I'm really happy that you brought up this other option from Emmett Fox and the Golden Key. Even for me, there was a time when I was guided to look away from the problem or look away from the world and as you say, look within. And I remember there was even a time when I, for example, did not watch the news. And the way this was explained to me was that I was not ready. I was not ready to look, because if I looked, I would immediately get caught up in the thinking. I did not know how to look without being caught up in the thinking. And so what I needed to do was become stronger with the inner sense, you know, stronger with that, more in touch with that. Once I became more in touch with that, then the guidance began to come to look. You know, like the guidance began to come to watch the news again, to look at the world again. And in fact, now my guidance is very strong to go, you know, into situations through guidance that at one time I might not have gone into. Like I'm going to India in November to work with what they call orphaned and deprived children, the poorest of the poor in India, which is pretty dang poor. And at one time, I wouldn't have been able to go into a situation like that without my mind getting all caught up in it. Now it is time for me to go into that situation and be with myself as I look at the appearance. So in my personal case, and this may not be true for everyone, I would say the looking, for lack of better words, please forgive my language, is more advanced. And when I wasn't ready for this more advanced step, I was guided at that time not to look. But now the looking that happens, it's a looking that happens from the withinness. It's a looking that happens, you know, you could say from the heart. Like many of you heard the story of when I burnt my hand that time. And what looked at my burnt hand was my heart. And as my heart looked at my burnt hand, it was instantly healed. You may remember that story. So you could say there's two kinds of looking. There's wrong-minded looking and right-minded looking. And if we only know how to look with the wrong mind, it may be better not to look. As we become stronger and more consistent with the right mind, then there's a lot of helpfulness that comes through looking. So hopefully that's my answer to the question. If anyone else has an answer, please feel free to add it. We have about 3 minutes left for open sharing. And before it's time for our closing song, so I'll release the mic for one more person. Yes, Tay, I see your hand this time. Please take the mic.
Regina, what's coming up for me recently, because contemplation has been difficult. I find that I move around a lot. I jump out of contemplation a lot. But what has been coming up for me is just sitting on the couch and writing. And I want to ask you if, because something very, very strong in me comes up just watching and looking as I write. Is that also a helpful way in contemplation? That's my question.
Hi, Tay. Well, I always right in contemplation. One, it's just natural for me. It's one of the first things I began to do. As those related thoughts began to come, I wrote. And as I wrote, I seemed to receive more. So it seemed to be a part of getting the flow going for me. But in addition to that, in the times when I have contemplated and did not write, I would find that 3 or 4 hours into the day, I could not remember the clarity that came during the contemplation. And I like to review and be with and contemplate the clarity as well. So now when I'm contemplating a quote, I do write. And then throughout the day, I contemplate what came, what was written down. So I would recommend writing for anyone for whom that feels natural. I would not recommend writing for anyone with whom that felt completely forced. If just being you, I would do that. Some people, in fact, Brent Haskell is one, some people actually find that the flow comes through them when they speak. And so, you know, Brent Haskell's two books were written by him speaking into a recorder, and then later they were transcribed. So some of you may even find that, you know, even while you're alone, it might be helpful to turn on some type of recorder and just talk to yourself while you're contemplating. Of course, that's the purpose of this room as well. As Melinda has pointed out, and as Dove always points out, we come in here and we talk to ourselves, even though others may appear to be listening. We talk to ourselves. That is a form of contemplation. That's the teaching where the Holy Spirit is speaking, or maybe something I have not just now mentioned, is what you should do. Each one should find their own way. Joe's saying he talks to his dog. That's wonderful. Lynn is saying she's a speaker, not a writer. I do both. So Tay is saying dancing. Dancing is wonderful as well. I do some dancing as well. I find spontaneous yoga is also very helpful. David is saying he writes. So we're now down to just a few minutes. So what I'm going to do is play our closing song for today. Our closing song is from Yael Naim, if I'm saying her name correctly. I believe it's a Hebrew name. Maybe I'm even wrong about that. But it's a great song. It's called New Soul, and it's a great song about making mistakes. Because any of us who may listen to today's teaching and reading and then say, okay, from now on, I'm not going to think, I'm just going to look, we're going to find the thinking happening anyway, and we'll find that we forgot to even look at the thinking. We were just wrapped up in the thinking. And so to have a light-hearted attitude regarding our mistakes or our perceived imperfections is helpful. It is never helpful, really, to judge ourselves, just to be very light-hearted about it. And this song to me, even though she talks about making every mistake possible, she seems very light-hearted about it. So let me just play this closing song, and then I'll come back with one more word, and that will be the end. Whoops, that's the wrong song. Hold on one moment. Here we go. New Soul by Yael Naim.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
is a happy end. Cause you don't understand everything you have done. Why is everything so wrong? This is a happy end. Come and give me your hand. I'll take you far away. I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and I feel finding myself making every possible mistake.
I see y'all love that song as much as I do. It's a great song. I just want to say that if you'd like to continue this discussion about the difference between thinking and looking or being, please come to our Yahoo discussion group and share there. If you want to find the Yahoo discussion group, just go to the Awakening Together website, click on the Interact menu, and then you'll see where there's an option for Awakening Together groups. And you'll find our Yahoo discussion group under our Awakening Together groups, again, under the Interact menu. Thank you very much, everyone. I will see you later this evening. Bye-bye.
Okay, just before you leave, I just want to ask a quick question. We do have, like for tonight, Cheryl Valentine is in San Diego with her family, so she gave us something for a half hour at 6 o'clock Eastern Time to play NTI Revelations Chapter 4, which she says is the closest thing to her brain tumor chronicles. And she recorded this 1 year ago. At 6:30, there's an open time in Regine. Will you be here at that time? I just want to just clarify that you will. Okay, so Regina will be here at 6:30 today. And I think we're going to go over maybe some more clarification of how we have a whole new set of times. And as a matter of fact, if you haven't looked at our schedule recently, we have just changed the schedule today. So a lot of the things that you thought were on the schedule probably are now changed, at least in times. And for right now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 10 p.m., 4 days in a row, we're going to have the evening Awakening Together quote contemplation, which is led first Monday night by Regina, Tuesday night by Karen Ann. Wednesday, we still don't know who's going to be leading, and Thursday it will be Jay McCormick, and we're talking about doing this on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So without further ado, I just want to mention that right now Neil McGregor and Marie Teebees are on for the next hour, and then Barbara Water.